You're listening to
V for Vertigo,
episode 69.
Something kind of vertigo going on here. I've been seeing fables in my dreams. I've been laying scalped out here for hours in this swamp in New Orleans. I've been reading spells from books of magic, trying just to help blaze trails to you. Feeling like a loser, so, so tragic. Feeling like I'm left to preach at fools. All the time spent moving, oh so slow. It's something kind of vertigo.
Welcome, it's the beginning of another edition of V for Vertigo, where I'm in the air everywhere, streaming on the vast world wide web. And this podcast is one man's journey into the world of all things Vertigo comics, because everything else is just picture books. I'm your host, Mark Mudslide Johnson. In this week's spoiler-filled review, we'll cover Transmetropolitan Back on the Street by Warren Ellis and Derek Robinson. And hello, everybody. How are you doing? I was very close to not get an episode out because I'm kind of busy all weekend, and it'd be nice to clean my apartment. And I just came back from a party, and I'm really tired. I gotta wake up tomorrow. Which is funny, it's the complete opposite of last weekend where I stayed home. It was a holiday, too. But don't worry, I'm here, and I am queer. Okay, maybe not that last part. But before we get started, let's talk a little bit about LeBron. Because everyone else is talking about LeBron. It doesn't even matter where you go. It's all about LeBron, LeBron, LeBron. I don't know. I've never liked LeBron, His Highness, his pain in the ass. I have no problem with him leaving. I do have a problem with him making a big fuss about it and being a diva, but that's all he's shown. He's not shown the killer instinct. He's not a leader. He has physically, he's the most gifted basketball player, quite possibly athlete, the world has ever seen. Yet he couldn't do it on his own. He doesn't have that look. He doesn't have the eye of the tiger. So he had to go to Miami to Dwayne Wade, who does have the eye of the tiger, but who's physically skilled, but not as skilled as LeBron. So he doesn't mind playing number two. That way, when they don't win, at least in the next year or two, he won't get the blame. At least the blame as much, because it's not his team. But man, I never thought I would root for the Lakers with Kobe again. Especially with Kobe. Don't like him, respect him. Don't like LeBron, don't respect LeBron. Shame goes for Shaq. But if they meet in the finals, I'm rooting for the Lakers. Man, it is really painful to say that. But it's good to have a villain in basketball game. So thanks for that. And I used to like Dwayne Wade until he fucking kept saying at the end of the day. Now I really don't like him because fucking say, hey, at the end of the day, at the end of the day. Oh my god, how bad is Matt? Who also says it a lot. But what do they call themselves now? 3-6-1, 6-1-3, 3-something. I don't know. Is 1 even the number? It's very weird. It's a weird ass area code. 3-6-9. Nah, I don't want to look it up because I don't give a fuck about them. But it'll be interesting. I probably will go watch a game. It's the Warriors. At least for the first half, because you figure they're gonna lose by like 50, and then the half they're gonna be down by like 30. And then the starters won't play anymore. I'll be like, oh, guess I can go. Good game, guys. Good game. Yeah. You know who I think I will make the playoffs next year? The Knicks, after the trade with the Warriors. They actually got a lot of, well, I was going to say good pieces, but might be going too far. They got Azubuki. Anthony Morrow signed with New Jersey. Shocking. Azubuki. Anthony Randolph and Roni Turioff. Same is system. They got rid of David Lee. They probably have, well, I don't know about the coaching, it's kind of a wash, but probably have a better thing. I think they will make the playoffs. I don't know why. Warriors won't, because they suck. But what are you going to do? Alright, enough of that crap. I'll wake up early tomorrow to go watch Predators. Probably talk about that next week. It's good. No, I don't know. So let's get on to the news.
Vertigo News.
Alright, if you're going to San Diego Comic-Con in a couple weeks, fuck you, you lucky bastard. And if you're listening to the show, I'm going to assume you have an interest in Vertigo. Vertigo has a couple of panels that I wish I could go to. I wish I could go to San Diego, but shitty hotel situation, overpriced shitty hotel situation, expensive convention, expensive packed crowded convention. The fact that if you want to watch a panel, you can't get there a few minutes before. You can't get there a half hour, an hour. You gotta like go and be the first thing you do and wait and watch all the shitty panels and wait all the goddamn day. Which is really fucking annoying and really bad. So, until they move it to Vegas where I can get a room for $100 a night or cheaper. And they have or even Anaheim. Same shit. At least that's next to Disneyland. And the convention center in Anaheim's pretty big. I will not be going to San Diego Comic-Con. Unless I'm really big and made it and then they invited me and paid for everything. Then I'd go. But here's the schedule for Vertigo's panel. On Thursday, July 22nd, from 6:15 to 7:15, we could have Vertigo's having a panel with Karen Berger, Raphael Albuquerque, Peter Gross, Jeff Lemire, Chris Robertson, Scott Snyder, and others in room 6A. It's going to talk about the new classics. That's a bit of a stretch. I'm going to say that these won't be canceled because it's American Vampire, The Unwritten, Sweet Tooth, iZombie, and, well, that guy is also from American Vampire. I'm going to say that those aren't going to be canceled, but I don't know about iZombie. The Unwritten might not be because of Mike Carey. He's written the most of anyone from Vertigo. You figure American Vampire, vampires are still big. And I don't know, King is not, or is writing sometimes, so you figure that won't be canceled. And then Lemire just signed a DC exclusive, so Sweet Tooth won't be. So, will they be classics? I don't think you can really say until it's all said and done. I think iZombie would be the one prone to getting cut. And then Friday, July 23rd, from 5:30 to 6:30. That's weird to have it, like, on an actual time instead of, like, 5:35 or 5:40. Vertigo on the Edge. Karen Berger again, including the same guys, along with Gabrielle Ba, Cliff Chang, Max Allen Collin, Joshua Dysart, Matt Kent, Peter Milligan, Fabio Moon, Matt Sturges, and the other guys I mentioned. Oh, and Jill Thompson, Bill Willingham, and others. Jesus. How do you do that panel? That's already like, what, 10 guys? And others? I guess it's just she and they are going to talk about what's coming up in the next few months. So, there you go. Room 6D. And on Saturday, July 24th, it's probably the one panel I wouldn't go to. For 6:45 to 7:45, there's your normal time. Fable Forum 2010. A bunch of people work on Fable is going to talk about it. Hosted not by Karen Berger, but by Shelley Bond. And who gives a shit? If you like Fables, though, I say go catch that out. But I'm not going, so I wouldn't go. And if I did go, I wouldn't go. I might go, because I would have to cover it for this show, right? But really, I don't know what they could tell me that or I'd be interested in that. Yeah, panels are a tricky thing in general, whether you like them or not, or like the subject matter or not. Because, what was I going to say? I just fucking totally lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah, they're interesting because depending on how big it is or what they say, whether they spew the same bullshit or how interested you are or whatever, you can find out the info simply by going to what they say by any news site. So unless they're extremely entertaining, very informative, or you want to ask a question, there's no point in really going in any panel. And this isn't just about comic books. It could be about anything. So, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if any of these guys are entertaining. I didn't know Chris Robinson's doing Cinderella. And lastly for the news, there's a contest. You can win a copy of Neil Young's Greendale. Just go to Beardigo's blog and post your favorite Neil Young song or character from the Greendale album and why. Contest ends on the 16th. I won't be posting it. Who? I am interested in reading the comic book, but I barely know who Neil Young is. Song or character, probably not. You play something for me, I'll probably be like, oh, that song. He did that song. All right, that's it for the news. Let's get on to the show.
And now it's time for the rundown.
Kind of pumped tonight. Had one too many mudslides. This week's review will be Transmetropolitan, Back on the Street by Warren Ellis and Derek Robinson. He's not English, is he, Derek Robinson? So now I'll be like, Warren Ellis and Derek Robinson. And this is the last, not the last, but maybe the last series, the great series I would consider that I haven't touched. I think I've touched all of them. I at least read all the first trades on this show. Transmetropolitan. And I've heard things about this, but and people say it's great. I'm not a big Warren Ellis fan. What has he done? Astonishing X-Men, right? After Whedon, which I heard was shit. To be honest, Whedon's run was shit, so whatever. Authority? I think Authority. Like, Warren Ellis is tricky. I've heard of Warren Ellis. I've not really read of Warren Ellis. So my mind is pretty much unbiased. And then Derek Robinson, I know him from The Boys. Wow. Yeah, he does The Boys, right? I think he does The Boys. Unless it's like Derek with an E or some shit. I'm pretty sure it's him. What's weird is, man, I love The Boys. Derek Robinson kind of stepped down. But I'll talk about the art later. So this will probably be the last one for the series. It'll be interesting. I can't wait to end the show. So I did read the first issue. It was like $1 months ago. I thought it was great. And reading it again, the issue, one issue in, I could already feel how deep, how strange, how funny, and how fucked up Transmetropolitan is going to be. Thankfully, I don't remember what I read in the Vertigo Encyclopedia, so I didn't spoil myself too much. Now, what's funny is, as a writer myself, I don't like stories about writers. I already know how fucked up, strange, and crazy we are. And reading about him is like, oh. Because basically, writers writing about writers is nothing new that they bring to the table that hasn't been done before. And to me, it makes them feel like, oh, you're a little narcissistic, are we? Yeah, writing stuff. Yeah. No one understands you, huh? It's all about you. The metaphor. Yeah. Okay, who cares? Who gives a shit? Yet I had no problem. I don't know if Warren Ellis is like this. I seriously know shit about Warren Ellis. I've heard of him. That's about it. I'm going to assume he's not like Spider. But I could read about Spider for the entire series because he's fucking awesome. He's enjoyable. He's crazy. I'm not going to have a problem with him. I love Spider. Spider-Man. Spider do what Spider can. I miss my And One. It's summer. Why am I not seeing And One? Unless it's on ESPN 2, a channel I don't get. Not that I get ESPN 1. But I do get it sometimes through other means. But I don't get the deuce. Where's the ocho? Anyways, Spider's cool. He's one of those guys. He's like an anti-hero or one of those people like, I don't give a fuck. But you know, at the end of the series or around there, he'll care. Be like, no, it's just his way. Because I'm kind of like that. But no, I really don't give a fuck. Well, I do like what he says on his mind. I'd say the same thing without the yelling and without the drugs and the smoking. He smokes. He's a fucking chronic smoker. And I tend to mumble and my throat. I'm not used to talking. I think I got hit in the neck once. That might be why. It's like my larynx feels weird. And then hearing myself on a podcast feels even weirder. It's like, who's that talking? I don't know. Now, what I didn't understand is how people recognize him. He's been gone from the city, and from what I got is while he was in the sonic shower, for better lack of a better term, he kind of accidentally zapped all his mountain man hair, or all his hair. Wow, I just thought of that. All his hair. That's kind of cool. Man, it's hard down there trying to get it all off, so you can't really... Oh, you can't. Well, they can in porn, which is amazing. And then you try it in real life. You're like, man, this is hard. Maybe they have someone do it. I don't know. Yeah, that's tricky. That old penis hair. How do those porn stars do it? I don't know. Maybe they have someone shave them. I saw something on MTV. Slight side note. Or the guy who was in the lifting and did steroids, he had, like, his dad or some shit shave his ass and around there. That's just fucking bizarre, by the way. Oh, well. Although the tattoo, well, see, did he have hair before? Because the spider on the bald head is obvious. That, oh, it's Spider because he's got a fucking spider tattoo, but... They couldn't see him with the mountain hairdo, and then he'd have had hair on it. Obviously, logically, he had to not have hair at some time to get a tattoo. I don't know. So, as I said earlier, Derek Robinson, he stepped down from Boys, art-wise. If it's the same Derek Robinson, or if it's at him at all, I could be completely out of batshit out of my mind. No, I'm pretty sure it's the same. I'm pretty sure. But Derek Robinson on Transmetropolitan is fucking phenomenal. Derek Robinson on The Boys is pretty good. It's weird. It's like there is so much going on in Transmet. I had to pay attention to and that I didn't want to miss like what I did The Unwritten. But as The Unwritten, I miss things because it takes place essentially in our world, right? So my eyes will glaze over stuff. But since this Transmet is in a not too distant possible future, it's like I gotta pay more attention because all that shit's new, all that shit's weird. We don't have stuff like that. And what's crazy, if I was Robinson, I'd so kick Ellis's ass. I'd be like, there's mad detail art here to like, books and weird toys and two-headed cats and everything, but especially Spider's tattoos. It's like, man, if I was Robinson, I'd be like, fuck you, Ellis. Seriously, Spider has to have however many tattoos and they're all weird and unique and I gotta draw them in every panel and then he's running around half booty naked. I'd be like, man, fuck you. I'll be like, fuck you, if he's British. I don't know. You wanker? Whatever. So, yeah. Some stuff that amuses me that I wanted to say is that They got the weirdest TV shows, like Muppet Sex or something. Sexcapades, oh, weird. And infomercials that if you get hit with them, it'd be like Minority Report, but you get hit all at once, and then you dream. In your REM sleep, you're dreaming of commercials. It's like, what? And then there's the three-headed cat, the weird people aliens, and then the shit gun. And by shit gun, I mean gun that makes you shit. Not that it's a shit gun. And it's like, wow. I don't get... See, I'm curious. You figured, at least talking to Carrie, he said Peter Gross had a lot of info on Lucifer, right? So for Transmit, I wonder how much, like, I know Dylan had some input on Enos and Preacher. So with Transmit, how much did Robinson have in Ellis? It's pretty out there. Then again, from what I hear, I mean, Ellis is no Morrison, but he's still pretty out there. Unless I'm wrong. But yeah, alright. It's a weird future. Okay, what I find strange is that you hear people say, they go, well, if we had, Star Trek technology, there'd be no poor. I don't know why I'm talking like this. There'd be no poverty, right? You know, with a replicator-based technology. In the book, there's a replicator technology. Spider starts out with a piss-poor apartment. And he has a replicated technology. Yeah, it's like, why are there poor people? If you're in a slum type area with a replicator, sure, it's a weird replicator that is on drugs. I didn't get that. But how would people want for stuff? I don't understand that. I hope it gets explained later. I mean, what do you care about money or I guess maybe that's why Spider the way he is, or maybe that's why people the way they are out there, because they have all the basics covered literally. So it's like, why not take things a bit further and explore them? But I was surprised. It's weird. Now, another thing I was surprised about is that the journalism angle doesn't bother me. When was Transmit made? Around the same time as Preacher, so you figure mid-late 90s. And Ellis had enough of a foresight to not portray journalism as it is now, or was, because it's dying now. Yeah, he still kept news out there, and he thought far enough in advance, but not like Men in Black far enough, where like, oh, this thing, this laser disc thing is going to replace CDs, when it turned out MP3s replaced CDs, or AACs. So, but he still covers the core basics of journalism, and it's pretty cool, it's pretty cool. Now, all the blurbs on the back of this book were pretty good. The Wired one's pretty fucking boring and long. But Spin was like, brilliant future shock commentary. Publishers Weekly, don't know why they were reviewing this, said is deliciously perverse. And Playboy, apparently they do have a comic. Well, they have comics strips. Well, it's not strips, like panels. Anyways, Playboy said is angry political sci-fi and is funny as hell. And the hated and loved and hated, depending on what side you're on, Cory Doctorow was like, is groundbreaking. The most engrossing comic I've read since Watchmen. Mighty strong words. Derek Robinson did do The Boys and Wolverine. Apparently I have the newer trade of Transmit, although seeing the list, there's not that big of a difference between the new and old. The issue of, I guess, a couple side stories that are just collected in another issue. Yeah, Warren Ellis did the Authority and Planetary, And I believe those are with some other thing I'm blanking on, right? Some other publisher, so that might be why. Oh, and Garth Ennis had an intro in this book and talked really well about it, so. You know, I gotta listen to Garth. Love him. Love him! If you're listening, come on, I wanna get you on an interview, Garth. So, I need to go to bed. I'm tired. It's almost 4. I'm giving Transmetropolitan Back on the Street, which whenever I say the title, I think of Inspect the Deck, you know, from the Wu-Tang Clan. Inspect the Deck, Raekwon the Chef, you God, Ghostface Killer, and the Method Man. I think of his first solo album, which is pretty good. You should pick it up. Where he goes, the word on the street, boom, 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 ba dum. Forgot the rest of the words, but yeah. But Back on the Street is, it just reminds me, the word on the street. I miss the Wu-Tang. So my Mark Critic score on this, I'm giving it a 5 out of 5. That is something I normally don't do. I mean, I do give books 5 out of 5s, but surprisingly, like I've said before many times, Vertigo's first trades and series are usually rough. They're usually like 3s. Where they're all rights, and Metacritic, is Metacritic 3? No, Goodreads. Which you can follow me, I'm on there somehow. Goodreads, does a 5-star system, and it's like, the 3 means it's good, I think. Good. No, a 3 means it's alright. It's okay. It's fucking in the middle between 1 and 5. Normally, forever, like, even as much as I love Preacher and Lucifer, I would give Fables way less than a 3. The first trait. That's not that good. And it's not even has little to do with my Fables hate. I forgot what I'd give why. I think it's one of the better trades. But like, yeah, Preacher and Lucifer I would give probably 3s. It's always you read the first trade and you're like, oh, that's alright. And then you get to the last issue too, and it usually hooks you. You're like, okay, I'll buy the next one. Kind of like Air. Air did the same thing. Oh, Milliard. Yeah, and then you buy it. And then, this is my theory. And then if you don't like the second trade, just fucking stop reading it. Someone told me. Oh, yeah, Frank told me. Frank from Half Hour Wasted, yeah. He was the one. But other people have told me. They don't like Preacher. They always like, Mark, I want to say I don't like Preacher. Okay, I didn't fucking write it. You can hate the goddamn book. I don't give a fuck. So, but then they're like, yeah, I didn't like it. I had to stop reading a second trade. Or they say that about other things. And I'm like, okay, that's probably wise. If you don't like it after a second trade, it's kind of like, I don't know why I continue to read The Historian. Yeah, I do. I'm a fucking idiot. But it's kind of like, for me, for books, if you don't like the first 100 pages, Stop reading it. I read Butcher's Dresden Files, and it was like, it's kind of slow. Stormfront, and it was like, Then I gave it to 100 pages, and it started to pick up. I was like, thank God. And I read it, and I enjoy it. Sort of. Bad dragging on. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever, who cares? 5 out of 5 for this trade. Yeah, woo. Alright, thanks for listening, everybody. As always, appreciate some feedback on iTunes or elsewhere, whatever, who cares. Next week's review will be The Sandman Worlds End, assuming I have a show. Ooh, a 10-year high school reunion. Should be interesting. Now I'll have a show, because I want to talk about my reunion. If you have comments, questions, or suggestions, email me at vertigocast@gmail.com or go to thecomicforums.com. To see what's coming up, visit the website at vforvertigo.blogspot.com. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/hellsfire. And remember, you can't lose what you don't put in the middle, but you can't win much either.